Welcome to MedChat Monday podcast. I'm Dr. Ross Kopelman, your host, where I cover topics on health, wellness, and the latest advancements in medicine. You're going to hear from interesting guests who will give us insight into better understanding how to live healthier lives.
I'm super excited today to be interviewing Nurse Sarah, who happens to be very active on Instagram like I am. Her handle is She Is In Scrubs, and she's a nurse down in Florida who, just like me, was very active during the height of the pandemic in the country. And today we hope to discuss, you know, some of our experiences, you know, how we coped with, you know, a lot of the emotional stress that we went through as healthcare providers. And we hope to give you some insight into our thoughts about the future. You know, we're still optimistic about what's to come, but we want to give you some encouragement. So stay tuned, and here we go.
Hello!
Okay, we're live, Sarah.
Yay!
I waited a long time to chat with you.
Sorry. I was trying to figure it out.
Don't worry about that. So Sarah and I are very good friends. We've connected through social media. So Sarah, I just first and foremost, I want to thank you for taking time on your day off to chat. You know, you've been doing a lot of great things across social media. And I think you know this, but you have started to become a voice for especially a big part of the nursing community and the rest of the medical community. So I'm just happy that, you know, you and I are kind of social media healthcare colleagues.
Yeah. Sorry it's taken so long for us to actually do this live.
Don't worry, but you know, it's fun. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking, I think, to go live, you know, because, you know, it gets you out of your comfort zone. But once you start to do it, you start to feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
So two things I would like to do with you, Sarah, today. One, I want to break down for the people listening and the people who are going to listen to this, you know, what our experiences have been like since the pandemic started. You know, I think I've gotten that question a lot from a lot of my close friends. And I think you have probably had similar questions as well. So I think just to give the people that follow us on social media some insight into what our experience has been like emotionally and mentally and all those different components, I think would be valuable. And then the second thing I would like to accomplish with everyone is just give them an idea about how to navigate this new world that we're living in. You know, as you know, we're living in a world where there's a lot of anxiety. There's stress about what the future is going to bring. And so I think we have to, you know, you and I have a responsibility to kind of say, this is where we think things are going. And obviously we don't have all the answers, but, you know, we have to try to be good representatives of the community as a whole, if you know what I mean. So anyway, welcome. So, you know, what has your experience been like these past few months for both, you know, especially in the beginning? And the other thing I want to stress is, I think, you know, you're just, correct me if I'm wrong, but like you've just started as a nurse, right? Like officially as a nurse.
So I've been working as a nurse for like the past 2 years, which to me is still like a new nurse. But it has been really stressful, I would say, and kind of frustrating because it seemed like a lot of our hospital systems were not prepared in any way, shape, or form for COVID. And it was frustrating for nurses, physicians, respiratory therapists, everyone in the medical field, because, you know, we get bombarded with this virus and we're treating these patients with COVID and we're trying to also protect ourselves. And sadly, a lot of our hospital systems didn't have the means to do so in a timely manner. And literally, like, this week is the first week I've had a N95 that I get to use and throw away after a shift instead of reusing it for 2 weeks straight. So that just gives you a picture of like the last 3 months, how it's been and kind of how disposable a lot of nurses, physicians, just people feel, because the people who are at the front lines that we call heroes and we do shows for and things, we're not being protected adequately, and things are being said either to the general public that aren't exactly true, and people don't really understand what exactly it means to be protected from a virus that you can't see. And we're in direct care for these patients, and every single day we go to work, we could be exposed. So
you know, I'm in a very similar position to you in the sense that this past year was my internship. And for those listening, your internship is your first year of your residency. And I vividly remember, this was early March. I actually was one of the first healthcare providers in my hospital to actually pick up COVID. And at the time, we had only had two suspected patients who had COVID. Obviously, there probably were more. But the thing that I vividly remember is that 2 weeks after being out for quarantine and going back to the front lines, the hospital went from two patients to like 99% COVID, and the environment changed overnight. And, you know, as you know, Sarah, we used to go into rooms, you know, that were airborne restricted, and you put on a new mask. Mm-hmm. And then you'd walk in the room and then you'd throw the mask out. Yeah. And what's crazy is like exactly what you said, like at least in our hospital, I don't know what it's like in other parts of the country. And I know that you're like in the South, that resources might be a little more limited down there, but they were certainly limited in the beginning. Things were running out quickly. I remember having to at least wear a N95 mask, you know, one mask a day. I know for you, you might have had to use one mask a week or one mask for multiple weeks, but it was such a stark change from the environment that you and I both had been, you know, working and taking care of patients prior to this whole pandemic.
Yeah, it's scary that the standards just went to the floor when the chaos hit. And, you know, our lives were placed at risk because of it. And a lot of it had to do with just unpreparedness in a pandemic, which is frustrating. And we're hoping that people, especially hospital administrators, learn from the mistakes and the unnecessary loss of life of our healthcare professionals.
I'm curious, by the way, what was the sentiment amongst the nurses? Because, you know, nurses are, you know, doctors, you know, we have a responsibility to see patients, but we don't go into the rooms as often as nurses do. Yeah. You know, you go in a lot more into patient rooms, and when there are COVID patients, especially in the beginning, I'm assuming that a lot of the nurses in your hospital were afraid and they were scared.
Yeah, a lot of nurses didn't exactly take it seriously until one of our own got exposed and ended up in the ICU. And that might have been the same for different states or other professionals, just because, you know, they've been used to H1N1, they've been used to all the other issues we've had in the past, and maybe they thought it would just blow over. But me and a few of the other, like, younger nurses, you know, we'd seen what was going on in Italy, we'd seen what was going on in different parts of the world, and we're like, you know, if we don't try to contain this, it's going to be just as bad. And sadly, that was the case. And then seeing like the PPE that they wore and then seeing what we were being offered, it just made us feel just disposable and not exactly.
And I think also vulnerable, right? I think like, you know, we looked at these other countries and we said, oh, their healthcare systems are not as strong as ours. And that's why they're having these outbreaks. And I think actually that's why so many healthcare providers didn't think that this would come to the United States and really hit us the way it did.
Yeah. Sadly, the sentiment of just being an American is thinking that we have the best of everything, when like this pandemic in and of itself just has proven that we may have dropped the ball in a lot of things, and sadly unnecessary deaths were the cost of that. And we still are in a chaotic pattern in every different state. There's no standards on exactly how we're containing, and you know, this week alone has shown like the abrupt opening and not having standards has increased rates of infection. And that's scary, especially for us, because we've also been furloughed. Our nurses, nursing staff have been furloughed. We've had people being offered early retirement, and now they're being rescinded retirement.
Even in this environment.
Yes, even though we have, I'm on a PCU floor, which is a progressive care unit, and I'm now going up to 5 patients, some of which can be very critical, and it's, you don't have the time to or attention that they really, truly need. And at the beginning of this, it was funny because they said that we should only have 3 to 1 COVID patients so that we would minimize risk to the healthcare workers. And now those standards aren't in place. And it's like, did they really care about?
Well, no, yeah, I think one of the issues was we were understaffed. I think every single hospital was understaffed. Mm-hmm. I happened to be in New York. And I was in Queens, which happened to be the epicenter of the epicenter, just because we had there's so many nursing homes in that vicinity, mm-hmm. and especially in the beginning, we were extremely overwhelmed, and I know that the nurses were overwhelmed, for sure, and the doctors were overwhelmed as well, but the nurses were overwhelmed because they went from having a certain quota of patients to having to carry so many more patients, and they were scared. There were a lot of nurses who were just scared to go into rooms in the beginning.
Yeah, that happened on my floor as well. There was definitely fear.
What was the hardest part about this experience for you? I can talk about what that part is, and I'll highlight that after. But like for you, what was the hardest part about going through this?
I think just the like internal grief of knowing what so many healthcare professionals have been going through, and then seeing what people's family members are going through alone in the hospital, and seeing the toll that this virus takes on people, and knowing that like some people just don't take it seriously and think it's just a flu, when I've seen what it does to an individual patient. And it's not just older individuals. It's not just people with underlying conditions. It doesn't really discriminate, but it can affect someone harder, of course, because of underlying conditions. Like, that's just science and fact. But people don't realize that, you know, your uncle, your aunt, your mother, your father, your brother, and your sister, they could all have underlying conditions that just aren't diagnosed. So if this were to, you know, affect them, they could very well end up in a ventilator. They could very well end up in the ICU. So it's just the pain that I felt and the grief I felt is for the people that have had to, you know that their family members are in the hospital doing very poorly, and all they can do is see them on a FaceTime call and say goodbye. And that's happened very many times, and having to hold up an iPad for a family, a group family, to see their patient or their family member, you know, suffering, because it really isn't something that it just takes you away peacefully. It wreaks havoc on your body when it's in that intense state, and when it really like attacks someone's body and they go through the worst of it and don't recover. So I think that's the most difficult part.
One of the things that you know, as healthcare providers, we get exposed to a lot of different things, sickness and illness. And we build up some sense of, we build up a wall where we can sometimes separate our emotional feelings from what the reality of what is occurring to a particular patient. But I will say, I agree with you strongly. I think one of the hardest parts of this whole experience for me was, it was exactly what you just said, holding up that iPhone or being that point of contact, the last person that a family member would talk to in order to communicate with, you know, a family member who was in the hospital, who might have been on a ventilator or who was about to die, and just being that last person. And I think some of the most emotional conversations that I had as a doctor this year were during the COVID pandemic, where I would spend every single morning calling up family members and really getting to know the family members, whether it's a wife, a husband, a brother, a sister. And there were moments where, you know, I was just, you know, I was in tears. I was crying. These were patients that and families that I didn't really know, but I just felt I felt how strong their connection was and the love that they had for their loved ones, and just being there and trying to look, one of our roles as healthcare providers is not only to take care of the patient, but also to provide emotional support to the family, right? You probably spend a lot of time talking to family members as well, just updating them about how their loved ones are doing, COVID or not COVID. For me, that was one of the hardest parts of this whole thing, because the patients, the family members couldn't even come into the hospital. They couldn't come into the hospital, have some sense of closure. So, you know, their family member would come into the hospital and then they would be at the graveside, you know, two weeks, 3 weeks later. And that's the most horrible part of this whole thing. So let's change topics a little. And feel free, by the way, if you want to change directions, you want to throw in something, you want to point something out to people, please do that. What do you think our new norm is going to be? Like, you know, in terms of our generation, millennials, Gen X, Gen Y, how do we cope with this new reality? There's a tremendous amount of fear. There's anxiety about the future. There's fear that there's going to be another surge, just like what's happening down in Florida and Texas and California. As communities start to open up, we're seeing that those areas actually are spiking for the first, you know, they're really hitting their spikes. So what do you say to your colleagues, your friends, your family members? Like, what do you do to give them hope?
I try to encourage my parents, my family members, and everyone that I'm around just to take the same precautions they were taking during this quarantine and, you know, washing their hands as soon as they get home, like not touching their face and wearing masks just out of respect for everyone around you. I think that's the most important thing. Of course, if you're going to a restaurant, there's really no sense in wearing a mask while you're eating. It's just probably going to make things worse for yourself. But if you're at Publix or if you're at the grocery store, if you're somewhere where there's multiple people you're around, just wear a mask, and it helps other people decide, hey, maybe I should wear a mask too.
And also to lower anxiety levels. Yeah. Because people are anxious.
And I get anxious just seeing myself wearing a mask and then seeing other people just nonchalantly not wearing masks where it would be beneficial for them to do so. And like seeing videos of people like coughing on others out of spite, you know, it's irritating to see that kind of behavior from grown adults. And, you know, I'm hoping that our generation, you know, tries to respect each other to that level to protect each other from something that can potentially not only harm them, but harm their family members, which is the most difficult part. People don't realize, yes, it could affect you and you could easily recover from it. But if you go in contact with your uncle or your friend's uncle or your friend's grandmother, they could pass away. And that's scary and frustrating that people just don't think of everyone else. They just think of themselves sometimes. So I've been at the protests recently and everyone's wearing masks. We're providing masks at the protests, and there's young folks, there's older folks, there's just a whole sense of unity at these protests. And it's funny because people say that maybe these protests will cause spikes and things like that. But at the same time, we have folks gathering in bars without wearing masks. We have people gathering in all different places without wearing masks and knowingly maybe exposing other people to the virus. And those people aren't being called out. But the folks at protests, you know, with pain and wanting to change the way that this country was built and what it continues to feed on and what it continues to promote, which is racism and just a systemic oppression that is here and it has been here for a very long time. We're just seeing it. We're watching it.
Well, one of the things I actually was going to ask you, because I know you're actively involved in Black Lives Matter, is that, you know, young people, you know, want to socialize. They want to go outside. I just don't envision that we're going to be following the 6 feet, distancing. Yeah. And though you have been rioting in certain areas where everyone's wearing masks, there are plenty of pictures on the media of riots where no one's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So the question is, have we started to build up some sort of immunity? Are we starting to build up some herd immunity? So that's why maybe we're not seeing spikes in some of those areas. And I certainly do agree with you, by the way. I do think, yes, we have to continue to be respectful of others, and we have to wear masks and respect to those individuals around us so that we lower fear. And we also, we don't know who's a carrier, because there's a lot of people that are asymptomatic. But do you think we're going to continue to follow these guidelines, or do you think that it's going to be tough?
It depends on like the individual person's beliefs. And sadly, a large majority of this country believes in things that, the leaders of this country put out. So if the president wants to say that he's going to have rallies, and people believe that, so if the president's going to have rallies, that means he's not afraid of being exposed. So all these people are going to show up to these rallies and not think COVID is a thing. So it's like the people at the top of this country that we're paying attention to, that people are paying attention to, they're not going to wear masks because they believe that it's not a big deal. They think it's the flu. And the leader of this country has put that out on media. They've put it out multiple times, and they continue to do so. And that in and of itself is frustrating. But then you have young individuals, people who are in healthcare, who believe that it is still an issue, and they see it firsthand, and they wear masks. They try to encourage everyone around them to wash their hands, continue the same precautions. And, with the protests, it's causing change. There's like a whole list of things that have changed just from the protests in the last couple weeks. And it's been amazing to see like the entire country, a lot of the country, come together for change. And it's not just white people. It's not just like Hispanics. It's every single different type of person. And like people are saying here in the comments, it's not, we shouldn't be focusing on riots. And that's what people have been focusing on in the media. And there's been peaceful protests in Los Angeles. There've been peaceful protests in New Jersey. There've been peaceful protests in NYC, thousands of people, and just in solidarity. And this is not just what was happening like a week ago when things were being burned down. This is going on this week. It's continuing, the movement, and this has been continuing. And it's not a moment, it's not a trend. Like, this is something that needs to continue for weeks to come. And we have this momentum. And even in my little town, we still have, every single day, we have protests scheduled in different parts of our city.
So I want to ask you a question. If people are comfortable going to a protest, then maybe we will return to some sort of normalcy where we will be able to go to restaurants, where we will be able to socialize. Do you envision that happening sooner than later, because people see so many people going to protests, and they see that people are congregating and they're not necessarily having spikes in these environments?
I think we've already had that, like in my area in particular. You know, even before the protests were starting, I know people who were going to bars, who were hanging out, who were like, even our restaurants that were opening slowly and having social distancing of tables. I think people still have that free will, and they're going to try to socialize as best they can. But being that there is such a movement right now, I think it's true that seeing people gather will make people want to go out and maybe socialize as well. But it's so important to fight for change. And I think people just going out for fun, I understand like being tired of being inside. So it's interesting seeing how things go in the coming days. And a lot of the spikes could have been from like the last two or last 3 weeks. So it's interesting to see how things have opened, and then
the other thing I was going to emphasize was that for you and me, we really haven't been quarantining. We've been going to the hospital. We've been commuting. So I think for a lot of people, there's like this pent up, for a lot of young people our age, it's a pent up desire to get out and to roam around. And I would just say, I would urge people to be careful And I would urge people to just be respectful, as you mentioned, to other people in your environment, to always carry a mask in case you need to wear it in a public place.
Yeah.
Wash your hands. Are there other things that you would guide people listening?
Well, like if you're in healthcare, it's definitely important to not go out in public with your scrubs anymore, because people don't like to see that. They get frustrated at us wearing scrubs, which I understand.
Even by the way, these are our home scrubs.
These are clean
yeah. scrubs.
But yeah, like wash your hands, like up to the elbows when you get home, wash your face, just shower when you get home. If you do
good hygiene, good hygiene,
just good hygiene, really. That's the biggest thing. And like someone said, you know, people have been trying to get out for the last month, and they've been doing so. They've been protesting to leave the house, you know? So it's interesting, what we see on the news, or we see on what things are focused on, and the negative connotations with one thing and the negative and the positive connotations with another. It's interesting the way things are portrayed.
Well, look,
and just being a healthcare professional,
that's one of our responsibilities as healthcare providers and social media. Like, we have to kind of correct what the news is saying. We have to kind of redirect, not go too extreme to one side or the other side, but kind of tell, you know, really explain to people what the facts are.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most optimistic about in terms of the future, in terms particularly focused on COVID? Mm-hmm. What were the big takeaways in terms of how we have grown? I mean, as an individual, how have you grown through this experience? And what are you most optimistic about?
I think I've learned quite a bit through this experience, and just being prepared for absolutely anything in the work environment, and really, really anticipating for a patient to decline, and then being ready for that, what to do, especially with COVID. So that kind of helped with my critical thinking and just my quickness to be able to react to a situation, and also my time management skills, because of having to don and doff and having to sign into a paper before going into a patient's room, all of those things, and still being able to complete care activities and give medications and do everything I need to do in a shift. It made me realize how prepared I was for this, just to be a nurse in this pandemic. And I've learned so much throughout that. So that's wonderful. And then hoping that people that are my age in healthcare and nurses have learned the same and grown through it. I'm hoping that we focus on each other's mental health, and that we kind of combat the burnout that I've been feeling, that I know many healthcare professionals have been feeling, and just nurturing each other through that. And I think our teamwork also, especially in New York City, I know you guys are probably just a family now because of everything you guys went through together, and the pain that you all witnessed, and the grief just being in your city where so many people have lost loved ones, as even healthcare professionals. I know my cousin, she's a podiatry resident in New York, and she was working as a internal medicine resident and having to treat COVID patients. And she told me the collective grief that you guys were experiencing just from this. So I think the togetherness of healthcare professionals through this pandemic is definitely a positive aspect. And I think we'll grow going forward to kind of speak up so that in the future, this never happens the way that it did again, and that we are prepared in case something like this were to unfold, and even for anticipating spikes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course it does. And, you know, for me, I would say COVID made me realize how vulnerable we are, not only our healthcare system, but our family members, and how we have to really, you know, cherish what we have when we have it, and recognize that it doesn't last forever. There was an ER doctor at my hospital who I was very close with, and I had high regards for him. He was a double cancer survivor, and unfortunately he passed from COVID. And it just makes you appreciate, you know, your coworkers a little more, or a lot more. And it makes you want to treat people with, at least me, it makes me want to treat people with more respect and love, especially the people who are on the front lines. You know, they really put their lives on the line, because there are many healthcare providers who got sick and some who unfortunately died. So I think for me that was the biggest takeaway from this. And but I'm still optimistic. I think a lot of people came together. I saw friends and family donate, masks and be supportive of other families. And it just helped people, again, reiterate what's important, family, art, and health, right? And then also being educated. Like now I think the country realizes, and especially a generation realizes, that like through social media, you could become more educated about your body and staying healthy and staying safe. And I hope we both continue to do that. And that's basically it. So Sarah, this was a lovely chat. I hope that you enjoyed it. And I hope that people got real content out of our discussion, because these should be real discussions and not, superficial. And I want people to see who Sarah is. And I want people to see who I am. Yeah. So this was enjoyable, and I hope we get to do it again.
Yeah, I think we will. This is great, and I appreciate you. And I'm hoping you stay safe through all this, and that your mental health, you are able to focus on that as well and get through the rest of this, because it's nowhere near over. And we're going to keep going. So
Let's do it. Thank you so much, Sarah. And I hope everyone enjoyed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The information expressed on this MedChat Monday podcast are the opinions of myself and my guest and should not be construed to be a replacement for a consultation with your medical provider. Thank you for listening.